Well, go ahead and turn in your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, that's where we're going to be today, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 15. So Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. So this is part 5 in our sermon series as we've been going through the Holy Spirit together. Empowered, living by the Spirit. Let me give just a brief recap here. I'm going to spend too much time on it, but in week one, we talked about the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and just kind of a brief introduction and who He is and what He does. And then week two, we looked at how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is different than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit from the moment of conversion. But being filled with the Spirit is different. We talked about that. And then week three, we talked about what it means to stifle or quench, maybe your version of the Bible says, the Holy Spirit. And then last week, we looked at what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieving and quenching are two different things. And if you want to go back and listen to some of those, you can go to our website and listen to those. But today, we're going to focus on a very familiar story, when Jesus was tempted. And so why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness? And then beyond that, and the application part is, how does that apply to us? What does that mean for us? And as I was prepping for the sermon today, I decided, since I'm in Luke 4, it's not that far to go back to the beginning, I decided to read from the beginning of Luke all the way through to the scripture that we're going to read in just a minute. And as I was reading, I noticed some very important things that Luke mentions in the beginning part. Now, Luke was very thorough in writing this gospel. And he even mentions in chapter 1, verse 3, that he carefully investigated all the details of Jesus' story. I think you can really see the aspects of Luke being a doctor and being very particular, being very monotonous. And he said he actually carefully investigated all the details of Jesus' story, and he said he wrote down everything in verse 3 of chapter 1 in an orderly sequence. And so this means he was very intentional in what he mentions in the gospel. And as I read these first three chapters up to chapter 4, I noticed a distinct pattern as Luke was writing this. He mentions the Holy Spirit several times in these beginning chapters. It's mentioned over and over. And so I don't think it's any accident that he mentions the role of the Holy Spirit several times in the first four chapters. He obviously wanted his readers to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in God's redemptive plan. So let me show you what I'm talking about. Just briefly, because I think this is really neat. In chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, Gabriel predicts the birth of Jesus and says that predicts the birth of John the Baptist. He does that later, Jesus. But he predicts the birth of John the Baptist, and he said that John would turn many Israelites to the Lord and prepare the way of the coming of the Messiah. And he says that John will be filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 15. In chapter 1, 26 through 38, Gabriel predicts the birth of Jesus. And he visits Mary, and he tells Mary that she will be conceived by what? By the Holy Spirit in verse 35. In verses 39 through 35, Mary visits Elizabeth, who is John the Baptist's mother, and the Bible says that John leapt inside her because he was filled with what? The Holy Spirit in verse 41. And then in verses 46 through 56, we see Mary's praise about being chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. And then in 57 through 66, we see that John the Baptist is born. And then in 67 through 80, Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's father, the Bible says in verse 67 that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he spoke God sending salvation, preparing the way of this through his son John. And then we're very familiar with Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Jesus is born, and then in 21 through 40, the story of Jesus being presented at the temple, and there was Simeon there, right? Simeon, who many believe was a priest. The Bible says in verses 25 and 26 that he was filled by the Holy Spirit and was told that he would see the Messiah before he died. And so The Bible says in verse 27, as he was guided by the Spirit to go into the temple, he went into the temple and he took Jesus into his arms and declared that Jesus would be a light for all people, for all the nations. And then we also see Anna's testimony of Jesus as well. And then in chapter 2, verse 41 through 52, the story of Jesus and his family returning to Nazareth, and then Jesus at the temple, we know that story. And then finally, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 20, we see John the Baptist is preaching about the coming of the Messiah. He says that everyone, all nations will see salvation through Jesus. And then in verses 21 through 22, the story of Jesus being baptized and what happened. The dove came down. It was the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in verse 22. And then right before the passage that we're going to read today, Luke lists a genealogy. And this is important because he lists the genealogy from Jesus back to Adam. Because he wants us, which are the readers today, to demonstrate that where the first Adam failed in the Garden of Eden, go back and read Genesis 3, that Jesus is now going to decisively defeat our enemy, the devil. And so the first Adam failed, but the second Adam, Jesus, we know that he crushed the enemy. And our scripture this morning is the start of that. And we're also going to talk about, and really this is the main focus, some of the reasons why the Holy Spirit leads us into the wilderness. So let's read the scripture together. All that beforehand stuff leading to this point, let's read it together and get into it a little bit. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. It says, then Jesus left the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those 40 days, and when they were over, he was hungry. Goes without saying. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, it is written, man must not live on bread alone. And so he took him up and showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you their splendor and all this authority because it has been given to me, and I want to give it to anyone I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So he took him to Jerusalem and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you. And they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, do not test the Lord your God. After the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. And then notice in verse 14, then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity. He was teaching in their synagogues, being praised by everyone. And so we see here this familiar story, Jesus being tempted, and let's just very quickly look at what these temptations were. There were three ways that Satan tempted Jesus. First of all, he centered on his physical needs, right? Jesus was hungry, he'd been fasting for 40 days. I can't even imagine what that would be like. But Jesus was there, and he was tempted by Satan. Satan offers Jesus food, but he refuses because he knows God will provide his daily bread. Then he centered on power, right? Satan offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, even though they already belong to him. He offers him all the kingdoms of the world if he will worship him. But Jesus refuses because he knows that only God is worthy of worship. And then he centered on pride. Satan challenges Jesus to prove his divine power by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple, the highest part of the temple. But Jesus refuses as he knows that he should not test God. And so in all three instances, he defeats the enemy through the power of God's word. But at the end of this time of temptation in the wilderness, something very interesting happens to Jesus as he's there. So what happened in the wilderness? Luke mentions in verse 1 that the Spirit intentionally led Jesus into the wilderness in order to do battle with Satan. Okay? Very clearly says that in verse 1. And listen, Jesus didn't argue about it. He went where the Spirit led him to go, as Jesus always did. He was always about what God wanted. He was always about what the Spirit wanted. So he went where the Spirit led him to go. This wasn't just some kind of relaxing getaway. He wasn't there to chill for a while. Okay? And he went willingly, and when he was there, Jesus was tempted fiercely. And he went through a tough spiritual battle. And he defeated Satan by faith. He defeated Satan by the power of God's word. And I want you to notice again, we just read it, what verse 14 says. So he goes in, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He goes through the temptations. And look at what verse 14 says. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit. When Jesus was in the wilderness, in that desert, or wherever it was, something happened to Jesus as a result of his victory over Satan. It was in the wilderness that the Holy Spirit's power became evident in Jesus' life in a very new way. Now, we think, well, how could this happen? Because Jesus is God. He's this supernatural person. So how could this happen to somebody like Jesus? But we have to remember that, yes, Jesus was God, but he was also fully human, right? That's hard for us to understand. We can't possibly grasp what's going on there. And according to Luke 2:52, we know that if you go back and read that, as part of his human nature, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God's people. So if Jesus grew in that way, he could also grow in his experience with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I know it's hard for us to understand how Jesus could actually grow in his experience with the Holy Spirit, but Luke wanted us to know, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? That Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Spirit, and he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, both before and after, Jesus was fully possessed by the Spirit. He was indwelt by the Spirit of God. He was fully led by the Spirit. But having defeated the enemy, Satan, in the wilderness, the Spirit's power somehow became very pronounced in his life. Very pronounced in his life. And so as a result, his life had a huge impact on the people that he encountered. Look at verse 15 again. Look at what happened after this power of the Spirit came upon him. It says he was teaching in their synagogues, being praised by everyone. And so that happened as a result of being in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then beyond that, we know ultimately Jesus had a huge impact in the world by going to the cross to be our Savior. So something happened in the wilderness. In that time, he was doing battle with the enemy. He went in full of the Holy Spirit, and he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's all well and good, but how does this apply to us? And this is really what I want to get into today. I read that one time Martin Luther, the great reformer, once remarked that in making a minister of God, three things are required. Here's what he said: meditation, prayer, and temptation. Meditation, prayer, and temptation. Obviously, we need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to spend time in prayer to God. But does Martin Luther mean that we need to go looking for Satan in order to pick a fight with him? I don't think that's what he was getting at. But I think what he was getting at is that he understood that we're going to be going through spiritual battles at times. And in our lives, listen, we're not going to grow spiritually without facing some temptations and trials at times. Just not going to happen. If everything is always going good in our lives, there's no difficulty, there's no battles, there's no stress, we're not going to grow as Christians. Because what happens usually is when everything's going well and everything's going fine, we're healthy, we got enough money, you know, everything's going our way, we got the promotion at work, all this stuff. What happens, and I don't think we intentionally do this, we take our focus off of God and we put it on self. Look what I've done. Look what I did. And I think what Martin Luther is getting at is that if we're not going to grow spiritually without facing some strong temptations at times, some trials. And interestingly enough, that the word temptation in the Greek language is synonymous with trial. The word can be translated both ways. And so when we normally think about temptation, we think in terms of being drawn to do something that's wrong, right? We're tempted to do something, it's wrong, and we go do it sometimes, or sometimes we don't. But when we think about the word temptation, we think of being drawn to do what is wrong. When we think of trials, we tend to think of going through some kind of difficult circumstance. And I want you to know that trials can actually become temptations. Trials can become temptations. For instance, when we're facing a physical trial, we're going through a battle with our health or something like that, or we're going through some kind of financial difficulty. We lost our job, or we didn't get the promotion, or bills are stacking up, something like that. When we're going through trials, physical, financial, or whatever, we may be tempted to give in to fear, right? We may be tempted to give in to anger. We may be tempted to put faith in self rather than on God. And so I think it's no secret that God allows us to go through trials at times, but when this happens, brothers and sisters, Satan will almost always use it as a temptation. Let me say that again. When we go through trials at times, or when we go through all these things, temptations, trials, Satan will almost always use it as a temptation. God wants to use it as something to test us. And Satan wants to use it as a way to tempt us to do what is wrong. And as I read this scripture, the temptation of Jesus is a perfect example of this. Now, we know that Satan was in the wilderness tempting Jesus. Luke very clearly points that out. He was in the wilderness tempting Jesus. He wanted him to turn away from the path of obedience to God. But God, through the Holy Spirit, is the one that led him there. Right? So, who did the leading? It was the Holy Spirit. Who did the tempting? It was Satan. Did God know that what was going to happen when he sent his son to the wilderness? Yes, he knew. He intended from the very beginning to demonstrate that his son would not yield to Satan's smooth talk, right? Because he was a smooth talker. He even used scripture to try to catch Jesus. Did God tempt his son? No, God did not tempt his son. But did God put his son in a place where he could be tempted? It appears that he did. Because Luke very clearly talks about that. Now, we need to be very careful about this and understanding it, okay? I don't believe, and I don't think you do either, that God ever desires for us to sin. The Bible clearly teaches that. But it's also true that from time to time, God allows us to go into a place where we're going to face severe temptation. Now, is God responsible for the temptation? Absolutely not. James says that we're tempted by our own evil desires. So God is not the tempter. We're tempted by our own evil desires. Satan uses our evil desires to do the tempting. From God's point of view, it's a trial or a test. From Satan's point of view, it's a temptation. And he wants us to fail. He tries to mess everything up in our lives. Satan is a great perverter. He perverts what God has intended for good. He perverts it in a way to where it's just all messed up. And people give in to it sometimes. And so God allows us, from his point of view, it's a trial, it's a test. From Satan's point of view, it's a temptation. We think about Job, the life of Job. God allowed all these things to happen to Job in order to prove that Job is my guy, and he's not going to curse me. He's not going to go against me. And Job's life was strengthened through that. I think about Abraham when he was told to sacrifice his son. I can't even imagine what that would be like, being told by God to do that. After he'd already promised that, you know, this son was going to be born to me, and it was under, extraordinary circumstances. But yet, Abraham faced that trial and possibly the temptation to not do that because he loved his son very much. But yet he went through with it, and God provided another way. And so from God's point of view, he allows us to go through tests, trials, temptations. From Satan's point of view, he's always going to attempt us to do what is wrong because he wants to mess everything up in our lives. And so again, trials are a normal part of our lives as Christians. And God allows us by His Spirit at times to be led into difficult circumstances. Some of you this morning are facing a difficult circumstance. You're facing a trial. You've been led into the wilderness. But when we choose, guys, let me just say, when we choose to live our lives God's way, when we choose to trust Him, even when we don't understand, when it looks like there's no possible way that I'm going to come out as a winner here in this situation, there's no possible way that I can be healed, there's no possible way that I can come up with this money to pay this bill or to do whatever, we all go through difficult times, and maybe you're there right now, but when we choose to live our lives God's way and we trust Him, guess what happens? Our faith increases. Our faith increases. And not only that, we become an example of faith to other people. People see that we're going through this major thing, but they see this peace in our lives. They see this calm. They see the faith. And they can't help but notice there's something different about you, about them, which could be you. And it could be that God could use that. But not only that, guys, as our faith increases, God can do more and more through us. God can do more and more through us. Now remember what happened to Jesus after he left the wilderness. Look at verse 14 again. He went through this trial, this temptations. Verse 14, then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit so he would be tested. He was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tested by Satan. As he was tested, he would be prepared. And as he was prepared, he would be empowered. Amen. That time of testing prepared Jesus and empowered him. And guys, that was God's plan all along. God needed the power of the Spirit to be strong in his son when it would be time for him to die for the sins of the world. And let me just say, God needs this power of the Spirit to be strong in our lives. Because guess what? We live in a broken world. We see the evidence of the brokenness all around us. We see people who are living their lives in such a way, and it breaks our heart because we know that if they would just choose to do it God's way, things would be so much better. I'm not saying it would be no problems at all. But we need the Spirit to be strong in our lives because He wants to use us in this broken world to share the hope of Jesus with other people. And if we're not empowered to do so, if we've not been through circumstances in our life that really challenged our faith, we're not going to be prepared to deal with some of the other things that other people are going through. It could be that some of the things that you're going through right now in your life, the difficulty, the heartache, He wants to use that in the life of somebody else. You know, my own life has been filled with a lot of difficulty, especially when I was a kid with my family situation. And I know that some of you have faced similar circumstances in your life. I know how to help people who are going through difficult times like that. And as I went through those difficulties in my life, and as best I could as a child, trusting God's provision and trusting the Lord, and obviously having God use other people to help me through that process, it strengthened me. It strengthened my faith and empowered me to be able to be who I am today. And God is doing that same thing through all of us this morning. The difficulty that you go through, the testing, the trials, and being led by the Spirit to those trials, God wants to use it for a greater good, to empower you to be on mission for Him. He wants to use us in this broken world to share the gospel with others. So when God leads us to the wilderness by a Spirit, we need to trust in Him. Some of you are in the wilderness right now. What are you going to do? Are you going to trust in the Lord? Are you going to freak out and hide and bury your head in the sand and act like nothing's going on? When God leads us into the wilderness by His Spirit and we trust Him, the promise is when we leave the wilderness, we'll be in the power of the Spirit. Now this is, you might think, well, you know, where was Pastor Kobe getting at talking about the temptation of Jesus in relation to a sermon series on the Holy Spirit? This is it, right here, okay? When God leads us into the wilderness by His Spirit and we trust Him, we leave the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Guys, we're stronger. We're better. And God can use us in a mighty way. And so, if you're going through that difficult time, in a way, even though it's hard, you can almost rejoice in that. Because God wants to use it for such a greater good in the kingdom, in your life, and in the life of other people. You're going through this trial for a reason. It's so your faith can grow, so you can cling to the Lord harder and better. And He wants you to come out in His power, and He wants to use you in a mighty way for His kingdom, for the advancement of His kingdom. So when God leads us into the wilderness by His Spirit, and we trust Him, we leave the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're stronger and better, and God can use us in a mighty way. So Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Luke makes that very clear. He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same is true for you and me if we trust Him. Guys, we have to believe that God is at work in our lives. We have to believe that God is at work in the midst of our trials. We have to believe that God is at work even when we're tempted. We have to believe that God is at work in our families. And we have to believe that God is at work in our lives. And so we need to stand firm. We need to stand strong. Don't fear. I often tell people when I'm trying to encourage them. My grandson, Nolan, had a 13th birthday a couple weeks ago or a week ago. And my son had some men from our family speak into his life what it means to be a Christian man. And one of the things that I told Nolan at the very end, and I hope that he always remembers this, is that in life, he's not a lamb, he's a lion. In his life lives the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so at times when we think, man, I'm going to shrink back, I can't handle this, we have the Holy Spirit living in our lives, and we can overcome. And we can be empowered. And we have to believe that God is at work in our lives. We have to stand firm and stand strong and don't fear. That's how this story relates to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We all go through trials. We're not going to go through life unscathed. We're going to go through difficulty. It could be that God led you there for a reason, to make you stronger and to make you better useful in this kingdom. Maybe this morning, though, the first step for you is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you want to do that, here's what you need to do. We talk about this every week. You can't trust in Jesus. You can't trust in the empowering of His Spirit if you don't know His Son. And so if you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, first thing you need to do is admit you're a sinner. And then ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. And then believe that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. That's the gospel. And then you have to make a commitment. It's not just about a belief. You have to make a commitment that you're going to commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Maybe that's a decision that you need to make today. In just a minute, Andrew's going to come. He's going to lead us in a song of commitment. It's an invitation song. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to do work in our lives. And maybe that's a decision that you need to make today. And you can, right there where you are, right there where you're going to be standing, is pray that simple prayer of faith to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to do that today. If you need help in knowing how to do that or you need some guidance, I'll be right here at the front. Can come talk to me. We'll go through it together or meet sometime later on so you can understand fully what it means to be a follower of Christ. Maybe there's another decision you need to make in your life. You need to come talk to me. Again, I'll be right here. Maybe it's just between you and the Lord and you need to get it right with Him. That's why we have an invitation time, because we want the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. So let's pray and then we'll sing and let God do His thing. Father, we thank You today for the way that You're working in the life of our church. We thank You for this story of the temptation of Jesus, a very real thing. And we all go through the same thing in our lives. We thank You for the promise that we see here, that when we come out of that wilderness, after being led there by You, that we are stronger and better. We are in the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would cling to that promise as we're going through difficulty even now, that You want to use it for a greater good. Your Holy Spirit wants to use us in this broken world. So, Father, help us to cling to that promise today. Remind us of that when we're going through difficulty. Let us think of this story in the Bible when we're going through times of trials and temptations. Father, we thank You that You are always with us. We cling to You now, and we trust in You. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus.